idea, under a green stamp here, we have a region, D. And then we make a counterclockwise loop around it. And that's the boundary of D. If D had a hole in it, you would have to make a clockwise loop around that hole to have the other part of the boundary of D. And that's the positive orientation. And if we have a vector field, two-dimensional, so we'll call the horizontal part P and the vertical part Q, and integrating along the boundary loops, this is the circulation. Is the same as doing a double integral in the region that the loops enclose, and what do we integrate? We integrate partial q partial x minus partial p partial y. Circulation part usually gets written in a, instead of in the geometric way, we often write it in a more computational way. We have some function times dx plus some function times dy that we're integrating along one or more loops. Okay. Let's do... Maybe I actually want to use the screen here. Corrected this in the board photos for day 50, but I'll note it explicitly here. I drew the arrows on that loop wrong. The loop was already counterclockwise, like I said the first time, but then I drew the arrows wrong and got confused. If you're just looking at the board photos, it's already fixed. If you're taking your own notes, flip the sign on that for that homework problem. Okay. Now, what's the parametric curve I have in mind here? to cooperate with me on this one. It was basically a line that doubled back on itself. Slightly better. Yes. Now it's okay. Okay. So here's a little loop. And not at all easy to figure out upper and lower bounds or left and right bounds for this loop, because it's hard to get y as a function of x or x as a function of y. So if you want to do a double integral of the region enclosed by this loop, it would be kind of a pain. And so if you could use Green's theorem to somehow turn it into a loop integral, then life would be better. I guess one question you might want to ask is this loop counterclockwise or clockwise? At the start and end points, if you plug in these times, you get the origin. So if we want to figure out whether or not it's clockwise or counterclockwise, we need 2 points. So how about, say, we look at plus or minus pi over 12. If you plot 3 points on a loop, you can tell, okay, which way is clockwise and which way is counterclockwise. So for example, cosine of plus or minus pi over 4. So that should be 1 over root 2, right? Cosine of 45 degrees, same as the cosine of negative 45 degrees. Pi over 4 radians is 45 degrees. And then here you'd have the cosine of pi over 3 or negative pi over 3. Cosine's an even function, so those are the same things. Those are 60 degrees.
this.
And now the sine is an odd function. So here, let's see, what are we getting? 6 times pi over 12 is half of pi, so it's 90 degrees. The sine of positive 90 degrees is 1. The sine of negative 90 degrees is negative 1. Of course, you can put these in your calculator, too, if you don't want to do all the special angles in your head. So what's going on here? Somewhere along here, I'm not sure exactly where, we have the higher value is at t equals pi over 12, right? This is higher, right? Higher y value. Same x coordinates, different y coordinates. This is negative a half. This is 3/2. So this is the one at... Okay. So going forward in time from negative pi over 6 to negative pi 12ths to positive pi 12ths to positive pi over 6, we'll be going this way. So this loop is indeed... counterclockwise, so if we look at the region D within it, then we can apply Green's theorem without having to reverse the loop or something. Okay. So, for example, what if you wanted to know the moment of inertia of D, assuming density 1. What does that mean? So with respect to which axis of rotation? So really, we're looking at this. Think about it as this is a plane in 3D. Okay, so we have our... How's it usually going? We had our overhead view, so to speak, and then you turn it around as we usually do. And... you'd have something over here. Here's D. Here's the z-axis. And you measure distance to the z-axis. So. So this moment of inertia would be the integral along D of r squared times dm, where m is mass. So to be clear, by density I mean surface density. So really it's an integral of r squared dA. Now, r is the usual square root of x squared plus y squared by the Pythagorean theorem. It's our cylindrical coordinate, r. So our moment of inertia here is this integral along d of x squared plus y squared. But we only really understand d in terms of the loop that goes around it. So we'd like this to be a partial q, partial x, minus a partial p, partial y, so that we could apply Green's theorem to it. Because right here is our nice little boundary curve. It's all parameterized. So we can turn our moment of inertia double integral into a circulation integral if we can just figure out a P and Q that do the job. Any ideas for a P and a Q that could work here? It's usually easiest if you try to think of something where the x and y variables don't interact. So focus on the x part first.
x cubed over 3.
Right. Now, we don't want x squared minus y squared, though. Remember, we're going to have partial q, partial x, minus partial p, partial y. So we need to put a minus sign on the P term. So with that minus sign, then the negative partial P partial Y will be Y squared. Okay. So with that little trick, we reduce our moment of inertia problem into a circulation problem. So now we're doing an integral of negative y cubed over 3 dx plus x cubed over 3 dy, all along our little loop here. Okay. T is going to go from negative pi over 6 to positive pi over 6. So we go around the counterclockwise loop. And we're going to have to take derivatives in order to figure out the dx and the dy. Yes?
That's T to pi?
That's just a typo. I miswrote. I meant T, but for some reason I wrote a pi. Sorry about that. But thank you for catching it, Sam. Okay, now 1/3 times negative y cubed. So I'm not actually going to expand the cube here. I'll let my calculator worry about that. Okay, so that's the negative y cubed. Then there's a dx. So I have to take the derivative of this. So that's going to be 3 times negative sine. Right? I'm using the chain rule here. It's negative sine. That's the derivative of the cosine. But then the inner function, I'm going to parenthesis overload here. The inner function 3t has derivative 3. So that's from the chain rule. Okay, so we've got our negative 1/3 y cubed dx. Well, this is actually dx slash dt, right? But I'm going to put the dt out at the end. Okay, and then the other term, x cubed. Well, that's not so bad. The cube of the cosine of 3t. And then we have to multiply it by dy. Okay, so I have to take that derivative. So I'm going to have negative sine of 4t. The derivative of the outer cosine function is negative sine. I have to multiply by the derivative of the inner function, which is 4. So I'm using the chain rule again. And then sine of 6t, so outer function derivative of cosine. And then inner function derivative of 6. So all of that is the time derivative of y. And, okay, I put the 1/3 out in front of everything, and then put a dt at the end, okay? In my calculator, I don't even have to write the dt, I just put, you know, comma t, Integral symbol, open parenthesis. Big old formula, comma t, comma -π/6, comma π/6. Right? A monstrosity here, right? Okay. Very lucky, all the parentheses will match. The point is, it's reduced to something where it's just an integral that a calculator or a computer could do. My calculator, fancy, is giving me an exact answer in terms of some ridiculous fraction. Okay. About 1.1, I guess. Yeah. So that's why it took a moment for it to figure it out. It was doing a symbolic integration, so it actually get that exact thing. I should have just told it to do the numerical integral. It probably would have been slightly faster. Anyways. So that's another example of how you can profit from Green's theorem. Some pictures here.
questions or comments about this one? So there's another version of Green's theorem called the flux form. I need some colors for this. So on one hand we have, as we go around the loop, tangent vector pointing in the forward direction of travel, and it has magnitude 1.
What is that symbol for?
T with an arrow on it? Unit tangent vector?
Oh, okay.
Maybe I should just write it upright. Okay. And meanwhile, you have your vector field pointing who knows where. Let's say at that point the vector field points there. Okay? And right here, when you have a dot product, this is the magnitude of the vectors multiplied by the cosine of the angle between them. Say I call that angle alpha. Nothing special about this letter alpha, I just had to pick something for the angle between them. Okay. So, for example, the magnitude of the unit tangent vector, because it's a unit vector, is just 1. So this is that. Okay. Now, what you can do, if instead of circulation integrals you're interested in flux integrals, is you rotate the unit tangent vector 90 degrees clockwise. You get the unit outward normal vector. Now, if you've chosen the positively oriented curve going around your region, the positively oriented boundary, then rotating 90 degrees clockwise really does turn your unit tangent vector into an outward normal vector. Even if there's a little hole, like over here, right? If you have the loop going the right way, then rotating 90 degrees clockwise really does point you out of your region D, and in this case, pointing into the hole. Now, the idea is, okay, what if we rotate F as well? Rotate it 90 degrees clockwise, just like we rotated the unit tangent vector to get that outward normal vector. Okay, so how's that work? So F is P, Q here. Now we're going to have a rotated version of P, Q. Okay. We're going to have Q, negative P, I believe. One way to check that is make one of the P's and Q's zero and see if it makes sense in a simple case. So for example, if F was pointing to the left, then it would be, say, negative 5, 0 or whatever. When you rotate 90 degrees clockwise,
you want to go to 0, comma 5, right? So 0, comma negative, negative 5, yeah, it works. If F was pointing down, so say it was 0, negative 3, or whatever, then you rotate this way. Now it's negative 3, 0, so the negative 3 moves from here to here. It works. You can double check it by just making up a few examples. Anyways, have that. So if I rotate things, the magnitudes of these of the vectors don't change, and the angle alpha here didn't change either. So Q comma negative P dot N DS would be exactly the same thing. Because the magnitudes and the angle don't change, the dot product doesn't change. Right? And if you take the dot product, you can verify it too. Q times dy matches what we have here, plus negative p times negative dx. Okay, the negatives cancel, you get the p dx. Right? They really are the same. We're just doing a little rotation. Okay, fine. But if you're interested in a flux integral, what you actually want is your original vector field dot the normal vector, okay? So instead of the Q and the negative P, you're going to have P and Q dot dy comma negative dx. And this will work out to be P dy minus Q dx, which is not the same. Right? These are the same, but this is actually different. Now, you can do the same trick, though, if you want. You can rotate both of these vectors by 90 degrees. Just rotate them back the other way. So what's that doing? That is making another choice here, where instead of rotating, well, I could have chosen to rotate it this way. Instead of focusing on an angle alpha, I could have focused on another angle if you wanted to call it beta. And you get the same thing. Okay. So what we have here is kind of a dictionary that lets us go back and forth between circulation and flux integrals. Okay. You see, this one is a circulation integral because this the dx dy is a TdS. So
So here we had a rotation of 9 degrees clockwise to take us from here to here. And then down here, we just did the opposite thing. We rotated 90 degrees counterclockwise. So if you want to turn a circulation integral into a flux integral, you just rotate 9 degrees clockwise. If you want to turn a flux integral into a circulation integral, just rotate 90 degrees counterclockwise. So. Okay. This works for. It even works if it's not a loop, right? Just any curve. So let me write it in terms of the P and the Q. So this is a work type integral if it's not a loop. This loop, you can think of it also as a circulation. And so we turn it around into a flux integral. Maybe I'll just stick to the loop case, then I can label it. Okay. Here's a circulation, and it turns into flux. Just by that clockwise rotation of 90 degrees. So this is the circulation of PQ. This is the flux of Q negative P. So if you know one, you know the other. And then likewise, if we started from a flux integral, we could also turn it around by just rotating the opposite direction. Circulation. This little game here, and in the circulation side of it, we can use Green's theorem, right? So on the one hand, when it's just the regular old P and Q. Take the circulation, and we get the region enclosed, and we have the vertical component's horizontal partial derivative minus the horizontal component's vertical partial derivative that we integrate. Okay, so you apply it to the circulation side of the equation. Now apply the same thing to the circulation side of the equation here. Instead of a P and a Q, it's a negative Q and a P. No, I'm missing something. T. That's supposed to be T. Okay. Okay, so in the formula now for Green's theorem, where there's a Q, now there's a P. And Where there was a P, now there's a negative Q. And we're not learning anything new here. But here we're getting something interesting. So this flux equals this circulation, and this circulation equals this double integral. And so you put these together and you get another form of Green's theorem, which says that the flux is equal to the double integral of partial P partial X plus partial Q partial Y. So this is called the flux form of Green's theorem. The original version is sometimes called the circulation form. But by doing these rotations, one of the rotations gives us something new. Okay. All right. Need an example of this. Here's a simple case. Here we have a rectangle, okay? Now make a little loop around it, counterclockwise, of course. There's the rectangle on the inside. And say you want to know the flux of some vector field. As we go around that loop. So this flux, which you can actually interpret as the net flow out of R. Now with the flux form of Green's theorem, it's actually easier in this case to, instead of doing a loop that's made of four different pieces, just do a double integral, because a rectangle is easy for doing a double integral on. Okay, so we have to take the x partial derivative, this thing, plus the y partial derivative, the vertical component. So x partial derivative of x component, if you like, and y partial derivative of y component. So in this case, let's see, x goes from 2 to 4, y goes from 2 to 3, and this is 2xy, and this is 1. See, I put the y limits on the inside, so my integral looks like this. So now I can have my calculator do that integral, or it's easy enough I could do it by hand.
So let's use that that curve we had at the beginning. Through is probably a better word than on, right? Because you think of, was the flow through the boundary loop, right? Just double checking that myself. Okay.